Hello again, and welcome back to Two Guys in the Neighborhood. I'm Bruce Carlisle, and with me again is the Sage of Verona, Mr. Mark Popovich.
Bruce, in the middle of the hot summer heat, with those hot summer nights, nothing like Two Guys in the Neighborhood to wrap yourself in.
You can tell that kids are going back to school now across the country. It's time to get back to your normal, even though we did our once-a-month podcast. It's nice to be able to be back. I feel like Tony Kornheiser is the only person who works less than you and I during this time of the year.
That's actually a really fair point.
All right, so Two Guys in the Neighborhood is sponsored by the Proletariat Brewing Company and their beer, The Mayor, the official brew of the Red, White, and Blue. And Mark, before we start, we want to give a special congratulations to friend of the show.
And voice major reason, contributor.
Major contributor and voice of reason, Two Guys in the Neighborhood, Heather Martin. And for being married, she's going to be married on Friday.
We wish her nothing but the best.
Her and James, nothing but the best.
I don't care as much about James. I care mostly about Heather and wishing her the best. James is a great guy.
It does hurt that we lose your hypothetical. Say you're on the Bachelor questions now. But
it's true. Now she has a little more at stake.
Yeah, but we're very happy for her. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great ceremony.
I'm sure it will.
So we got a lot of TV to catch up on.
Lots of TV to catch up
now, on. Now, the showcase show, the one that people talk about as far as analyze even more than you and I, critically acclaimed, Breaking Bad.
Absolutely.
And it has not disappointed.
I would completely agree with that. I would say this, I don't want to say this has been the most fun, but I feel like this has been the most fun season so far.
It's been, I
with the exception of the last 30 seconds of Sunday's episode.
I would go with compelling.
It's been
maybe compelling is probably the better word than fun, since we were watching everything break down.
Well, I really like I really like Mike. Mike's been one of my favorite periphery characters, and now
right.
Mike's become a showcase part of the group with Walt and Jesse. I think that's been really interesting to see their dynamic. How Walt definitely does not like Mike. There's almost like begrudging partners, I would say.
They are grumpy old men together.
Absolutely. And they're not funny. They're just getting things done.
And the thing that I find interesting with the three of them, Jesse kind of works, if it's 40% Mike being angry, 40% Walt being angry, Jesse's that 20%. Every time they seem like they're about to butt heads, Jesse has piped up with, let's try doing it this way, and they've always gone that route.
And Jesse's had some cool ideas. The magnet from the pilot episode
yes.
was a very cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
The train robbery, I don't know what you thought from the last one. I thought that was really cool.
I kind of agree with some of the people that were commenting that, when did all of a sudden Todd learns how to decouple a train and Jesse is doing all these other things. Like
it's a wrench.
They all of a sudden gained a higher level skill set, yo.
Okay, I'm going to say that this show has always had an element of disbelief in
right,
it.
Right, I just feel like that was...
You thought that
next,
was going too much?
A little bit. I mean, as an episode, though, I was very intrigued. I was very excited. I like a good heist movie as much as the next person.
I would liken it to the episode of Mad Men where the gang's getting all back together.
Oh, where they yes.
The finale where they got everybody where they figured out how to leave Sterling Cooper or that had been bought out by the British and all that stuff. That I would liken it to that episode where there's a lot of putting together the plan and it coming to fruition and you get to see the cool parts of it, you know, and the figuring out how the water and the ratios. I mean, it's really cool.
No, it is really great. And hopefully this will keep Lydia off my TV as much as possible.
You don't like Lydia?
I'm not a big fan of Lydia. Her high strungness annoys me. I'm also not a big fan of Skylar, even though I totally understand where she's coming from.
Okay, now, you have been one of the bigger Skylar critics over the seasons.
I am definitely not a pro-Skylar person.
I would say that Anna Gunn's performance this season has been really good.
I'm not trying to say that I don't think the actress is doing a good job, or I don't think the writing for her character is good. I just liked it when they were separated, and she was way off in the periphery, and it was about the meth-making business. That was better episodes for me. Like, I get that Walt and Skyler have problems. I've lived it for 5 years, like, or however long the show's been going on. Like,
you've lived it through the show, not through your own personal life.
Yeah, not through my own. I want to put that disclaimer up there. I have heard. So, I just don't I just don't really care. I thought it was better when they were going to get divorced. It would have made far more sense if they would have got divorced.
Yeah, it could have made more sense. But for Walt, and I would say not necessarily for Walt, but for Heisenberg, he's not going to let something like her leaving happen to him.
No, but before he was Heisenberg in season three, he didn't really have that power. He was kind of working for Gus. His meth business just like fell over in a heap of vomit on that poor girl who's now on Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Like that,
Kristen Ritter.
Kristen Ritter. Like that was a great time to just move him off to the periphery and watch him try to juggle. Hey, you get the kids on the weekend, but I got to cook meth. You're like, you want to get that family aspect in there?
I would say that with the kids gone now at Hank and Marie's, we do get far less shots of Junior eating breakfast.
I saw what you mentioned that to me when we were talking about the episodes, and he is literally, that is the only thing that his character is supposed to do.
He just eats breakfast.
I'm shocked he hasn't put on more weight because he's had to do 17 different takes of eating breakfast.
Okay, now did you notice now that when he's at Hank and Marie's, they're calling him Flynn again?
I'm sure this is his rebellion of, who knows why. I understand that his character is there to be the innocent. He's supposed to be the one last untarnished part of life.
Now, speaking of the innocent, Jesse Pinkman, who has always, I'm not going to say be innocent, but he's always been very protective of children.
Right.
And if you go back to the episode that had the ATM machine with that little kid from that episode, you got Brock, the little kid he was trying to protect. And now there's just this random kid who likes to collect spiders in the desert that... I can't believe we're going to say this, but Landry actually killed somebody again for all you Friday Night Lights fans out there.
I'm calling him Todd because if I want to watch some crappy high school show, I'd watch the Golden Girls. Or not the Golden Girls, the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, my God. Friday Night Lights. Oh,
they're the same show.
Anywho. But you understood why he killed this kid.
Oh, I was pro killing the kid. I knew, but see, you knew that was coming during the train heist and everything. You're like, something bad is going to happen.
Okay, but for that moment when they're all high-fiving and hugging, didn't you like want to high-five and hug too?
I did, but then once I saw the little boy, I was like, it's time to go. I knew that you knew something bad was going to happen when you collected the spider and you heard the train whistle. You might not have known what, but you knew something bad was going to happen at the very beginning. That's what they call in the biz foreshadowing.
I know.
I know you do. But then you know halfway through it when it's not, you know, the Good Samaritan comes and he leaves. There's no other domino
after
that.
You didn't think
they
were going to get away with it?
That makes her a great story, except maybe this would be the one advantage and the only advantage of not knowing when the end is. You know how I've railed for now over a year about how I like shows that have like a 52 episode run or where, you know, like,
you know, this is going to be the last.
Right. Season. So you know that the ending is coming. So you are obviously aware that it can't go perfectly because you only have so much time left.
Right.
So you're aware that you're waiting for the catch, but I'd still prefer that to having it go
be
on.
Be open-ended.
Forever. Yeah. So.
All right. Now, the other thing I will say is that the fact that we have a meth dealer and a killer and a guy who boosts homes for a living all in on a gag together, and we as the audience are rooting for them to be successful, I think tells you how good a job the show has done in making us sympathize with Walt and Jesse in a way, even though we know they're bad guys.
Well, I think it's starting to shift where anyone who had positive things to say about Walt is, especially after the episode with Skyler.
Her walking into the pool?
Well, that you knew was happening. You're like, okay, really? Like, I get it. You had all the Victorian imagery and things like that. But the scene where he's like, what's the plan then? And she's trying to come up with a plan, and he's just shooting down tie after time. Like, that made me feel better. And you get to see how terrible Walt has become. And
right.
Still a great scene by Bryan Cranston. I still floors me that the dad from Malcolm in the Middle is the go-to dramatic actor of our time, but
hey,
hell,
I was
really
with him when he was Dr. Tim Watley on Seinfeld.
Wow.
He was the dentist. He showed up for like 7 episodes over the course of 8 seasons.
I'm sure he was great in all of them.
He was. He got to go to the Super Bowl. Almost. Anyways, now, Jesse, what is Jesse's reaction going to be to the kid being
killed? Well, I think this is the part where, at least judging by the previews, which I with Breaking Bad, and I'll get to this at the Bachelor pad too, I don't really need to see on the next episode. I think Mad Men has pushed me in the sense where I like not knowing.
My wife hates the Mad Men previews more than most things in life.
You know, yeah, they don't tell you what they were going to do. This, shut the door. Yeah. I mean, this could be a problem, and then that's the end of it.
That's the end. She hates that. Drives her bananas.
Like, now you know that if Mike is going to either leave of his own volition, which I hope, because I like Mike too much.
I like Mike too much.
But
too.
It sets up the conflict between now Jesse and Walt, because that's inevitably what's going to happen. The Walt's going to start doing things that are a little more darker, and I don't think Jesse's going to want to be involved.
Even though he got him that nice watch for his birthday.
He did, which I you still wonder if there's some tracking. And here's something that just came to mind. If all of a sudden, speaking of amazingly gotten skills in the past week, if they can bug an FBI computer and wiretap that.
Well, Mike has been known as a man who can acquire things and knows how to do things. That's clearly something
right, but
from Mike.
Who is the one working the software?
Jesse.
Okay, Jesse.
But you're just reading it.
You're not necessarily reading. You still have to. I'm sure there's other things that are involved.
Maybe we should bring your sister on. She can tell us everything that's involved in that.
We could get the science of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's something online. But the thing that so Jesse has these. I don't know if he didn't wiretap that watch. There's got to be something in with that watch. Because they made with the aces, the ace of hearts was the on the face.
That's a really good point. I'd never thought of that.
It just came to me. I'll be completely honest. This is...
So then does that mean a year from now at Walt's 52nd birthday, he's got all the automatic weapons to come back and kill Jesse?
I think that is definitely a possibility. I think that's the impending war.
Okay. And you think they split where does up? Hank fit in all this?
Hank is the last guy. People speculated that it was going to be the Germans. You know, the Germans right. are out. So... The only thing that's left with, what do we got now? 9 episodes?
We only have
10?
3 left in this season or 2 left in this season?
I don't know. I don't
think
know.
We have 3 left in this season, then we have 8 more.
So 11.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're going to have the Walt Jesse shootout, and then it's going to be why Hank begins to start suspecting things. And then the last episode, or the second to last episode, is Walt versus Hank. And at this point, if I'm leaning right now, I have Walt winning.
I'm going to disagree.
I said this is how I'm leaning right now doesn't mean that I'm
winning. Well, now, you going the other way has paid off for you in the past on this
podcast.
I have agreed.
It's brought me glory before.
Picking Jeff to win The Bachelorette, going the other way, didn't work out well for you. Here's all I say against that is that you've heard Vince Gilligan say, I want to show him. He goes from being Mr. Chips to Scarface.
Right.
You've had Scarface. You've even watched Scarface this season.
Right.
What happens to Scarface at the end of the movie?
No, I get that he dies, but here's where maybe he still gets caught, but I still think he kills Hank.
Really?
Here's why I think it's going to go down. I think Hank's going to confront. They're going to have 2 guns on each other, so we know that they're going to have guns.
Okay.
And I think Hank hesitates. Because Hank's a good guy.
Hank is a good guy.
Hank doesn't want to see...
He couldn't stand seeing that head on a turtle.
No, and he didn't want to see the... he doesn't want to see Holly grow without a father.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a pause. Now, we know Walt ain't pausing.
Heisenberg ain't going
to
pause.
So that's how I think it's going to end up, at least how that scenario is going to play out. Now, I believe I've also said earlier that Jesse's the one that kills Walt.
Yes, you have.
So I still leave that option open as well.
All right, well, very exciting. Now we want to go to our other big show of the summer. All right. We have our other big show, which is, of course, The Bachelor Pad.
And The Pad is not disappointed.
Your first half MVP of The Bachelor Pad.
First half MVP?
Just up to this point.
Chris.
Okay.
He is hooked up with the most girls.
He has.
He has seemed relatively bulletproof. Now, you could tell, like, if you stopped it right now, he's your first half MVP.
I would disagree.
Who has played it better?
Ed.
Ed's been too close to the chopping block for...
But Ed, from an entertainment perspective, has anybody been more entertaining than Ed?
No.
The man got drunk and walked out of Chris Harrison's opening speech to start the show.
No, I'm not saying that he hasn't been... I say, if you had the...
He's hooked up with two different broads.
Yes.
All right, so he's
just, one behind
he's
Chris.
He's one behind Chris in that area. And
Chris has not gotten any votes against him.
That's true.
So his war is way above the charts.
Chris's
right now.
War is extremely high right now.
Now,
I will agree with that.
Are we watching some guy who's played his card too much? Has he burned too fast, too bright? I think so.
I think Chris has. I think Ed's in for the long game.
I think so, too. But you just said first half MVP.
Okay, for me, Ed was the first half MVP.
I think he was by far the most entertaining person in the first half.
But you're going to say the most valuable player.
Most valuable person. He had three different girls after him, which I still don't get.
My wife, how bad did you feel for Jamie?
I felt terrible for Jamie, but I will say this. As a person who has been on this podcast to say that I've been a huge Jamie fan, that I honestly think that she a lot of these problems are self-made.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to be with somebody that, because I mean, the David guy, bless his heart, was throwing himself at her.
Oh God, he was.
Didn't care.
She did not. She wanted the next. She wanted a leg up. She wanted to be with some fan.
Yeah, she wants to be. She wants to. Like, to me, she strikes me, and I guess this would be more of her backstory if they got to it. She strikes me as somebody who wanted to date the popular person. I didn't get
remember
to.
She was somebody who could never date the poppers because she had to be at home raising her little sisters.
Right.
So she's got a little of that late bloomer syndrome.
Right. But I mean, unlike those, the second she kisses somebody, she thinks it's love and they're going to get married 2 seconds into it and stuff like that.
Yeah. So we had a lot of things going on in this last episode. We had the game show mashup, which if you read Chris Harrison's blog, and I know you do.
I have not, though, this a couple times. What did it say?
Well, remember the game from last summer where they threw the eggs?
Yes.
This was to replace that. They thought the eggs were too mean.
Oh.
It's too emotionally scarring.
That's BS, because they had a survey game where they said stuff about each other, because that was the one where Natalie won, most likely to never get married, and then she cried.
That was two seasons ago.
Well, I guess it was.
Yeah.
We're on the third bachelor pad.
We're on our third pad, so just to keep everything in order. We had that Jacqueline winning the rose for the ladies, guessing the most in the game show mashup.
But is that the greatest dream date for you? We've always talked about you being a fake bachelor, but that had to be playing around a Dodger Stadium.
Okay, now, I will tell you this right now. So if I'm ranking, like, the five best days in my life, okay, mm-hmm. you got to throw getting married in. The birth of my daughter.
You just got to throw
you
that
You
got
to throw those two in, okay? Those two are definitely there, right? Yeah. But the highest reason, I actually got to play catch on the field of Dodger Stadium during batting practice one day.
Oh, when Bruce Kim was a manager.
Yeah, when my college roommate's dad was a coach in the big leagues, and so he would get his field passes every once in a while, and I got to go down. It was one of the highlights of my life. Okay?
I could totally believe that.
And so this date was right up my alley, okay? Yeah. And this was a fabulous date. You got to see Ed and Jacqueline together, who, by the way, Jacqueline, way overachieving, I think, with getting Ed.
I don't think Ed really cares.
No,
I think
Ed does not care at all.
Ed is in to have sex and continue to play the game.
I did like some of the things we did learn about some of these people.
Oh, such as?
Such as Blakely lying about how many men she'd slept with. Oh. She crossed out 12 and 11 and settled on 9, and then said, I'm not telling you how many.
I was going
to
say.
What do you get the over-under at for Blakely?
If I were to set the honest over
under. She's 35. Older than both of us.
I would say 29 and a half.
Woo! I'm going to take the slight under on
that. I was trying to come up with a line that was...
That's a good line. If I had to just guess a number, I would say she's in the 26, 27 range.
I agree. So I was leaning towards 25 or... I think she was a VIP cocktail waitress.
The old rule is you take whatever number they say and multiply by 3 for a woman. So at 9 times 3 is 27.
Well, she started
12. At 12, that's 36. So 29 and a half definitely puts us in the ballpark. Sarah had sex in a parking lot.
I'm sure as most people that were in high school probably did.
Jamie wants to sleep with Chris.
Yes.
That was the least shocking revelation of all of these.
Yeah, that was...
Jamie and Blakely hated each other. The thing that I thought was the most entertaining was Ed hitting his buzzer when he won. I just find Ed entertaining.
Ed is entertaining. I like that. It was finally a challenge he could do well at.
I did like on their date at Dodger Stadium that Ed and Jacqueline felt compelled to sing the national anthem before their date began.
That was I thought that was pretty funny. But wouldn't you if they gave you a mic to Dodger
Yes!
Stadium? Or you
go, now batting.
Who is
batting.
The Dodger guy? I keep forgetting.
I don't know who the Dodger PA announcer is anymore. I know we still have Nancy B on the organ. Nancy B. Heffley, who's great on the organ. But yeah, that would be great. The only thing that would make that date better for me is to have Vin Scully announce our date.
Oh, I think Vin Scully's like, there's no way in hell.
There's no way in hell. You're not getting him off the hill in Encino for that.
I would just want to, you know, the only thing I'd say besides the national anthem to sing if I was a Dodger
They shared
stadium,
a Dodger dog, too.
They did. I just wanted to be like, Farmer John!
That would be fun. We had Jamie basically turn into the... To what was the chick from last year who was an emotional mess? Melissa.
Melissa, yes.
Jamie's essentially become a slightly sane, more version of Melissa.
Yeah, I don't... Where I believe that Melissa... Melissa seems to be the worst combination of Jamie and Blakely.
Yeah.
Where they... Melissa needed that loyalty.
Yeah.
I feel as if the... That Jamie is slightly better. And I just think she needs someone. She needs to be off the bachelor pad. She needs to find...
She needs to be off the bachelor pad.
She needs to find whatever hot doctor that she's looking for and go on from there. Because, like, she'd be a terrible bachelorette. She'd be in love with 20 different people. She'd eliminate nobody.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then Chris got to go on the action movie date where he took Sarah.
That... I mean, that was okay. I feel like that date was...
Well, I feel like the date was average. I think the after story is far more interesting. They actually got a hotel room.
Oh, I'm telling you now. I'm sure there's some producer back there high-fiving his...
Oh, absolutely. Okay, there's a producer high-fiving. But that's something unprecedented on the pad.
Is it unprecedented?
Does somebody get their own hotel room? I think so.
I think so. Well, it's because this is the most exciting bachelor season. How else are you going to break new ground unless you bend the rules a little bit?
So did Chris and Sarah have sex?
Oh, God, yes. Why? No, I'm going to tell you now, if you get a, yeah, I know normally you're the person leading that call, but you don't get a free, you don't go, hey, I'm going to go get a hotel room. I think that's a great idea. I just really want to sleep in a bigger bed.
Maybe, hey, if it, I don't have
There's to, not enough free alcohol at the pad. I really want to dive into that mini bar.
I don't know how big those beds are at the pad. They could be on twins. I mean,
oh,
I can't fit on a twin bed.
I'm going to tell you now, guys would be different. If all of a sudden you said to your potential partner or whoever, hey, I'm going to get a hotel room, and she says yes, you're not thinking about, I wonder what the size of the bed's like.
Two queens, please. that could be very exciting. So we have Chris and Sarah getting very sexual, and then... We had, the votes came down to it, we had Chris trying to vote off Blakely.
Right.
That did not work. And, by the way, I just love how everybody's basically turned to Michael Stagliano, as he is like the ringleader. He wins it last year, he comes back, and now they're just all doing whatever Stag wants to do.
I'd say that Jamie should not be in the bachelor pad, I can't see Michael Stagliano living outside of the bachelor world.
Okay, do you know what Stag does?
He's a hip-hop dance instructor.
No, not only that, he has recorded and released his own album. And if you visit his store online, which I have visited, you can purchase your own Stag swag. And yes, that's what it's called. Guess what everyone's getting for Christmas?
I can't wait. What can you buy with Stag Swag? I'm gonna buy. It's fine. I can't wait to hear.
Well, you can buy the CD.
Oh, for sure.
There's T-shirts.
What does the T-shirt look like?
It's got like his name on it and stuff like that. And then there's one that just says Stag Swag on it.
Who's buying that besides Donna? But you were shocked when the date with Rachel a little bit ago,
right,
where they did the mannequins.
One, yeah.
Type thing. Everyone's like, I love Michael Stagliano. I love him.
Yeah, I can't believe the amount of people that love Stagliano.
They're the people that's buying Stag Swag.
Well, I mean, is it just because they feel bad for him because he got dumped by Holly last year on national TV? Is that
I think that helped
people?
Because...
I never saw his season when he was on
the... He was fun and he was happy, but everyone... Because he was labeled as a breakdance instructor as his job. And Jillian was, as they sold it as, like a highly successful, like, interior decorator for restaurants.
Okay.
So, like, she was a girl with a career.
Right.
She was
general business.
Yeah, she was cute girl next door that was down with, like, getting drunk. Kind of like, I guess, a more tamer version of Allie.
Okay.
Because I know that's when you came in.
Right.
Except she was more successful in her job or whatever. Okay. So, like, he was great. He was funny. He was a positive guy. He got bumped right around. I don't know if he quite made it to hometown. He was 4 or 5.
Okay.
So he made it around for a while.
All right.
Goes to the bachelor pad, I guess, gets dumped, handles it as classy as any person can handle it.
He got dumped while winning $250,000.
$125,000. They agreed to share.
That's true.
But, and which he apparently dumped a lot into his website because they're not pressing the Stag Swag shirts. That's in a warehouse somewhere.
Oh, Stag Swag. That's gonna get me through the fall.
How much is a Stag Swag shirt? Is it $15?
No, I think it's like $18. $18.95 for some Stag Swag plus shipping and handling. Not available for purchase on Amazon, so me being a Prime member helps me out nothing. Stag Swag.
Oh, I'm sure they would love to be able to get that. So which one are you going to get for your wife? Not to give away all of your Christmas presents.
She's going
to
get the tank top.
Oh, I was more like, does she get the CD or a shirt?
She gets the tank top. Uh-huh. All right. I'm going to buy the CD for myself for Christmas.
it's too early. It's actually a birthday present for you.
So yes, absolutely.
You can double dip.
So that's there. I don't know what the rest of the family's getting, but I think my daughter's going to get he sings lullabies.
Oh, does he?
No, I just made that up. That would be awesome if he did. So who do you think's going – who's going the distance here in the pad?
I would say people that I would be nervous for, Kaylin and Lindsay.
You think they're
– I don't think anyone hates Lindsay.
No, but Kaylin, who somehow is rehabbing himself in the pad.
He's doing an amazing job rehabbing himself.
How is Tony still there, by the way?
Because he's the weakest person. No one cares about him.
So he's going home
Which
soon.
Brings me up to two things. One, my earlier complaint about the previews. You know either Lindsay or Kaylin wins because they're going on that one-on-one date.
Yeah, it's true.
So I already know who's going to win one of the challenges.
But you don't know how they get there.
Oh, I don't
you
care. Like, that's part of the thing that bothers me.
I'm looking
me.
Forward to the spelling bee that I've seen in the previews twice and has yet to come up.
It's
gonna
the
spelling bee is going to be the most amazing night of television.
Well, only because then we could come back and watch me try to spell some other words and fail.
Well, I want to see what words you could spell and what words they could spell. So
I'm going to say that I would be one of the first people out in the spelling bee. Challenges I think I would have done well on.
Sophomore.
I can spell that one because I coached it.
Oh, there
there's
you
that
go.
O in there.
Yeah, extra O in there screws a lot of people up. Yeah. Almost misspelled words.
Yeah. No, I can spell sophomore.
There Onion.
O-N-I-O-N?
Correct.
God damn.
Onions.
Like, so five-letter words is where I top out. And sophomore. Because I once coached a sophomore basketball team, so I had to spell it correctly for...
Many purposes. I answer your complaints.
Okay, so first of all, we already know that one of them wins.
Right.
So that was complaint one about
the previews.
My second complaint, I can't remember now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That is kind of a shame. We got distracted by trying to make me spell.
Well, I'm sorry, but the spelling bee has been shown twice in the previews, and we've yet to see it yet. So I'm excited for the spelling bee, whenever she comes up.
Right. So no, the other thing I said, the challenges I could have done well on was the obstacle course. I felt it would have been the only one that I would have done well at. Maybe the first one where you have to hold yourself in, being an average person.
Yeah.
So I feel like I remember. The other thing that I hate about the Bachelor Pad, or I didn't understand why Tony and all these people run to Stagliano's Alliance, eventually you get to this point in the game and you get cut.
Yeah.
There's no chance to win here.
No.
He's unless he, I guess the prevailing theory is if you hang around long enough and then maybe win one or two challenges, you might sneak your way in.
I think Reed had the right play.
Reed
wins the Gia Memorial Award for trying to execute a plan and then utterly failing.
Well, because somebody else in the Alliance up and fails. David surprised me. I feel, now here's the other thing that I felt that should have happened.
I thought it was kind of crap they kept voting out the fans first.
Well, anyone who's watched those Real World, you of all people should have known
I
that
know.
Was coming.
Fresh meat, they don't like it.
They don't like, and I mean that's.
You're a part of the family.
That's territory 101. That's human nature. You can't tell me they didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
So that bothers me. It bothers me that Tony is just sitting along waiting to get axed.
Yeah.
Him and Nick are the next two people on the chopping block.
Absolutely.
I guess you hope that when the numbers come, you can shift. But I feel like David's prize for being the last fan standing, he should get to be... I mean, if he won it, you could make him the Bachelor. I don't think you could make him the Bachelor.
But on the next season of The Bachelorette,
he's got to be on The Bachelorette with a free bye to the second round.
Absolutely.
Like, I think...
He starts with a rose.
He starts with a rose because he deserves some sort of credit instead of getting bumped off.
Now, what? Now, the only other person I think that made an impact on the show from the fan perspective was Donna,
right?
Because she was a young hot chick,
right?
Does Donna come back on the next Bachelor as one of the Bachelorettes?
No, I would want to see very little. Like, Donna was okay. She was pretty, but she wasn't so pretty that I'd be. She wasn't like Emily.
Okay.
You know, like, if you're going to tune into someone because someone's incredibly attractive, that's your bar.
Yeah.
Because I just watched 10 episodes or 12 episodes of, you know, it wasn't the most exciting season.
Hey, it had an exciting conclusion for you to win.
I didn't see the conclusion, and as I said before on the podcast, I think they're going to last far longer than other Bachelor couples, because she was in it. She wasn't necessarily just in it for fame. At least I hope not. Because
so you think Emily and Jeff are going to make it?
I think Emily and Jeff are going to make it.
They're going to actually get married.
They're going to actually get married.
Before JP and Ashley?
Yes.
Wow. Bold call by you.
I don't think JP.
You're a man of bold moves.
I feel it's the summer's winding down. Why not take a few more shots before we have to be done?
All right. Well, anything else?
I'm excited for the conclusion. I feel you're going to watch Ed start supplanting Chris. I look forward to Chris's meltdown. I'm not a big Chris fan.
I'm not either.
I feel like he strikes me as a late bloomer who was not very popular in high school, and now all of a sudden girls are finding him attractive, and he doesn't quite know what to do with it, and so instead he acts.
That's why I always avoided getting in shape, so that wouldn't happen to me.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad that you waited so you got married before you had to really blossom.
All right. Well, so we got Bachelor Pad coming up. Can we keep going? We got two or three more episodes of Breaking Bad, and Louie is always a good summer.
Yes, we'll discuss Louie, and we'll discuss because hopefully we'll have an episode, God willing. We say this every time at the end of our podcast. Hopefully we'll have another episode next week.
We should have an episode next week.
We should.
Nobody's out of town.
We hope. We hope. I want to believe.
I believe.
Okay. I'm glad you're the positive person on the podcast.
Absolutely.
So
I've tried to become more positive in my life.
It's working. And then hopefully we can get Heather Martin back for our draft right before the fall season starts.
Fall season starts. That'll
so
be
we
good.
Can keep that up.
Hopefully
in
she'll be back from her honeymoon.
Yeah, well, that'll be the first thing I ask her after I say congratulations when they go around the tables. By the way, when are you coming back? Because I'd really like to get in a podcast before. So if you can cut down your trip. I think they're going to the tropics.
Which tropics? Cancer or Capricorn?
Crap. Capricorn? What's the one in the Far East?
I don't know.
Okay, I was like...
I just know they're both Henry Miller novels.
I wanted to say, I guess I forgot the tropics in the Caribbean, but what do you used to call the East Asian tropics? Like Mali and Bali. And
what are those called? South Pacific?
I guess it would be the South Pacific. Places where Bob Hope and Bing Crosby made movies. And by the way, you want to talk about a 60-year-old joke that we just made. There you have it.
And on that note...
All right, I'm Bruce Carlo.
I'm Mark Popovich. We will see you next week in the neighborhood.